This is the SLA Workshop Podcast, episode number 8. In this episode, I am interviewing my good friend Martina Scatolin. Martina is an Italian language instructor who holds a master's degree in Italian, and she's going to share with us her experience teaching Italian and learning languages, and also her suggestions to help you become a better language teacher and a better language learner. So, let's get started.
Welcome to the SLA Workshop Podcast with Joel Sarate, the podcast that will expand your knowledge on how we learn languages and help you become a better language learner and better language teacher. And now your host, Joel Sarate.
Ciao a tutti, come state? Buongiorno, buon pomeriggio, buonasera. Benvenuti in un altro episodio del SLA Workshop Podcast. Sono Joel Sarate, mi chiamo Joel Sarate, sono il presentatore, sono l'animatore dal podcast e in questa puntata ho una intervista con la mia cara amica Martina Scatolin. Quindi iniziamo. Welcome everybody to the Second Language Acquisition Workshop Podcast, the SLA Workshop Podcast. In this episode, I am interviewing my very good friend, Martina Scatolin. Martina is an online language instructor. She offers private one-on-one individual lessons using Skype and other platforms that enable you to take online lessons. And Martina is what I call the ideal language instructor because she has the four qualities that makes an excellent language instructor. Number one, she has formally studied how we learn languages. She has studied the theory, the pedagogy, and the methods that inform how we learn languages. Number two, she has experience teaching Italian to students from different countries and backgrounds. Number three, she is learning languages and she experiments with different techniques and strategies on herself as a language learner so that she can see firsthand the effects of her techniques and strategies she uses. And number four, she has a great human quality. She's humble, she's friendly, she's enthusiastic, she's energetic, she's fun, and she welcomes you like a friend from the very first time you meet her. I know that because I took Italian lessons with Martina, and she made me feel like a friend from the very first lesson I took with her. Now, we have been good friends for over 3 years, and now we are also collaborating and helping each other with our projects, and also we share ideas about teaching and learning languages. Martina, as I said earlier, holds a master's degree in Italian with an emphasis in teaching Italian as a second language, and what that means is that she has studied the research in the field of second language acquisition. She has studied linguistics and she has studied the methodologies and approaches in the field of second language acquisition. She has been teaching for more than 5 years. She speaks Italian as her first language, of course, and speaks Spanish, English, Italian Sign Language, and a little bit of French. Martina also has a blog called Italian Bites, where she is creating materials to help students learn Italian, and she also has a YouTube channel. I'll leave the link to those on the show notes, so just take a look at the show notes to find out more information about Martina. I also have a profile page about Martina in my own website, so I'll leave that link on the show notes in case you are interested in following Martina's work. So today, Martina is sharing with us her experience teaching and learning languages so that you can learn from her experience as a language learner and as a language teacher. I hope that Martina's experience can help you become a better language learner and a better language teacher. All right, so here it is, my interview with my good friend, Martina Skatolin. Hey, Martina, thank you so much for having accepted my invitation. It is great to have you here. Thank you for this opportunity to share your experience learning and teaching languages with our audience. So welcome to the Second Language Acquisition Workshop Podcast, Martina.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Joel, for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here today to speak about, you know, like my teaching, my passion for languages. So this is great. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Martina. I knew since the moment I met you that you were the ideal language instructor and that you have the talent. You have also the knowledge from your master's degree and the personality, because you are someone with a great human kind and with great human kindness, I should say. And your quality also, people, your students who take lessons from you privately using one of those platforms out there will agree with me that you are very energetic, enthusiastic, and also very kind when we get to interact with you. So thank you for sharing your experience learning and teaching languages and for giving us a little bit of your time to do that, Martina.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, let's get to our interview, and I have some questions that I have prepared for you. And let me go to my first question, which is just to get to know you a little bit, Martina. It is always important to just share a little bit about who we are. And for that, I would like to ask you, when did you realize, Martina, that learning languages and teaching Italian was your passion, was your talent, and your thing, and what really resonated with you?
Well, I am lucky enough to say that I started really early. I start really early learning languages because my family, well, I'm from Italy, so it's really easy to travel around Europe, right? So my family took me around in very different trips as I was a little kid. And so I soon realized that the world didn't speak Italian, which was a big shocker for me because obviously everybody speaks Italian, right?
Of course.
Well, it's like a big, you know, like revelation for me. It was like, oh my God, what are they saying? Why are they making those noises? And my dad was like, well, that's actually French and that's English and that's probably Polish. I don't know Polish, so I don't know. And so I started, you know, like really early. I was like 4 or 5 years old, starting to realize that there are different languages in the world. And so when I started school at 6 years old, I was very motivated to learn the languages that were available in school, which at the time were, well, only English. And then when I was like about third or fourth grade, they added French as an additional language. So to me as a kid, it was fun to mock kind of the sound of languages, you know, like, which later on in life helped me a lot with accent training, actually, so to improve my accent. And so, yeah, this is how I started learning languages. I then decided to go into a language high school where I studied English and French, but also German and Latin and some of Spanish, not really, but some Spanish. So I had like exposure to languages from a very early age. I started learning and being exposed to languages at a very early age. And instead, for what concerns, you know, like my passion for teaching, again, that started really early. I was 6 years old, birthday, and I got like a blackboard because my parents thought it was, you know, like a good present for a little girl. So I got this blackboard and I started teaching because I was in first grade. So I start teaching letters and the alphabet and being very bossy, actually, too, to all of my family members, you know, like my neighbors, even my dolls, like everyone. I wanted to teach stuff that I didn't even know, but I wanted to teach people. You know, like I was just like talking about random stuff with my little stick, you know, on the blackboard. And, you know, my teaching style changed a lot ever since, thankfully. But yeah, so this passion, it's something I cultivated through time, and it's something that I found out actually to be somewhat of a talent slash passion in high school, because I had a few classmates that were struggling with history. And they said to me that I was helping them, and they said to me that it was actually easier the way I explained it to them than the teacher. Now, I didn't believe them for a second, but that was quite flattering. And, you know, this is something that I decided to carry on to university. And, you know, like, as you know, and you mentioned before, I had a master's in teaching languages. So that's eventually, you know, like, I started at 6 years old, 20 years after, I'm still here going, you know, like learning strong rather than going strong. But yeah, so this is pretty much my story with language and teaching, languages and teaching. So that's me.
That's very interesting, Martina. I didn't know that from an early age you had the opportunity to start really getting the feel for what other languages sound like and get the curiosity to speak and think about what would it be like to say something on that language? What was that language like? And I can also imagine how fascinating it would have been for you at the university level when you were learning about how we were learning languages and you were learning about the pedagogy, the theories, and all of that. So, by the way, how was that for you when you started to read about how we learn languages and also just learning more about what the process is when we learn a language? Did you find that fascinating? Did you find that helpful?
It was mind-blowing in both a good way and a bad way. meaning that to me, it was mind blowing because, of course, you know, like there's so many things going on when you're learning a language that you don't know and you can control, apparently, that when you actually sit down with a theoretical book and read through them, you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Now I understand why I can't speak to that person, but to that person I can, because, you know, like maybe there's an effective filter or, you know, like little things, but they helped me. And I was like, oh, yeah, I should have known this, you know, so that's the good part. And the bad part, it was because it was in a university setting and, you know, like Italian universities tend to be very traditional in their teaching approach in the university classrooms. Of course, I was lucky enough to be in a very innovative and like leading university in Italy for language learning and language teaching. But at the same time, I felt that a lot of the literature I was exposed to was somehow not outdated, because of course it was current literature, but was not good enough for online learning and online teaching as well. So this was like why it was a little bad for me. Like when I was in college, I was like, no, I want to do more of that. I want to know more of this. Why I can't find enough literature. And that's when I actually started to shift, you know, like from the traditional, you know, university teaching and setting to actually learning on my own and actively look for articles and news and updates about language learning and language teaching, you know, like the issues that they're in the language learning world.
That is also something that reinforces what I say about why you are the ideal language teacher, because you have a lot of curiosity to go find more information, to improve, to see what information out there can help you to become a better language instructor. And sometimes we get stuck in our own mindset that this is the way I do it, that I only use one method and that's it. So that's when you cannot grow anymore. So when you were sharing with me in the past that you like to read articles, you like to find out more, and you want to grow also from the literature, from the pedagogy, from the theory. And it's not that the theory and the pedagogy is going to do the job for you. You still have to figure out how to put it into practice, but you have that curiosity. And that's something that I wanted the audience to also hear from you, how from knowing also this information, how you have developed your own strategy. So, which leads to my next question about the kinds of strategies that you use when you are learning another language, because I think it is important when we decide to learn a language to start accumulating strategies that we use. So my question for you, Martina, is what What are some of the things that you do to keep learning the languages that you speak? Do you have any particular things you do, or strategies, or interventions, or techniques you use? Do you take online one-on-one lessons? How do you keep practicing and using the languages that you speak?
Well, this is a great question because I recently came to, well, recently I'm talking about a few years ago, but, you know, considering a lifelong of language learning, it's kind of recent, to a realization that shifted my actual approach to language learning myself, right? Because it's all good having the theoretical stuff, but when it comes to you, it's a whole different story. We all know that. So, about my personal experience, now, right now, at this moment, I am focusing on English and Spanish mainly, even though, like you said, I speak also French and Italian sign language, which are kind of rusty, because, of course, you know, like a language, if you don't practice, it's still there. It's like riding a bike, right? You know how to do it and you kind of remember, but it's so rusty. Like, I've been to Paris a while ago and I was like, bonjour. Oh my God, there are. I was like so rolling it, but now it's just like, oh, so rusty. So this is one of my first strategies. I try to make the language part of my life. That means that, for example, I try to make it not as a task. You know, like, oh, okay, now this is my English time or this is my Spanish time. I sit down and I read or I do my drills, my exercises. But, you know, like, I try to do something that is relevant for me, something that I would do it even if I wasn't language learning specifically. So, for example, I read books. Of course, I don't pick an astrophysic book in Spanish because I don't think I could quite understand, not even in Italian, to be honest. Little things like listen to the news in English or reading books or reading blogs, for example, because this is something that kind of empowered me to pursue my English I'm always striving for a better, you know, like English level, because that's my portal, my access to knowledge. Because, of course, I'm not saying that Italian is a minority language, but of course you would agree with me that all the literature that we have is published and produced in English. So this is one of my key, secrets for language learning, like do something that it's relevant for you. So something for me, in my case, it's something that it's useful for my business, my personal development, my professional development. So English in this specific case, it's my key, my access to a better me, kind of. And so I make it part of my world. Now, Spanish, it's a different kind of approach. I have a different kind of approach for Spanish because it's a little lower level than English. It's a much lower level than English, let's be honest.
You're being too modest. I know that you can communicate in Spanish well.
Not to the level I would like to, but, you know, we're all too picky when it comes to ourselves. So, you know, like for Spanish right now, I'm reading books, I'm listening to podcasts, I'm listening to music, all the, you know, like the classic stuff, you know, that language learners or solo language learners do. And this is, to me, the difference that you have to kind of like take on kind of responsibility is how you do this stuff. So, for example, music, right? I am a huge I'm a huge English music fan, but for example, I didn't know much of Spanish or Mexican music, right? Or Latin American music. So right now I'm, you know, like on Vicente Fernandez, Café Tacuba. I'm like on it. That's my soundtrack for today. But usually, you know, like when I talk to people and it's like, hey, do you use music to learn a language? They say like, oh, yeah, I love it. You know, like I just pop up the lyrics on YouTube and I just sing along. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's not how I do it. Because the way I like, and again, this is personal preference, but what I like to do is to put it as a background music. So get accustomed to the sound of the language, to the beat of the music. And once I am to the point in which, of course, it's music I like, right? So once I'm to the point in which I can almost sing along, and I don't know if you have a niece or anybody, you know, like a little kid that loves a song and sings it. Like, I still remember, this is a very clear memory of my childhood, that was my parents were big fans of the Beatles. So, of course. we used to sing in the car, sing along. And I still remember, there was like this song that I still love today. It's In the Tower as Bo Li Me Se Si. Now, you know exactly what song I'm talking about. Sorry for my bad singing skill, poor singing skills. But that proves my point. So I knew the rhythm. I knew exactly what they were saying. Supposedly, I was 6, but whatever. Right now, you know, like what I did after, it was like looking up the lyrics and it suddenly makes so much sense. In the town where I was born lived a man who sailed the sea. Oh, mind-blowing moment, right? Now, of course, I didn't know, for example, what sail means, because in the town when I was born makes sense, but who sailed the seas, what sailed means. So that I looked it up, and that is something I will never forget. This is something I will never forget because it's so embedded in my everyday life, in my memory, that song, that I know that sailing, it's something related to the sea. It's something that is about a boat or a submarine in this case. But so this is a different approach that I choose to have with music. But this is one of many techniques that you can apply when you're learning a language. Now, another example is, for example, I like to figure out things on my own, right? So I like to speak with native speakers. I like to ask them questions about their own language. And if I don't understand a word, I don't like to look it up on the dictionary. But this is just me, of course, because I don't like quick solutions. I like to figure things out. I like to understand why, right? And of course, most of the times we speak with native speakers, they're not teachers, unfortunately. I'm just kidding. So it's okay, because sometimes you don't have to ask for an explanation or a grammar rule. It's enough to ask for another sentence, or how would you use this word in another context, or can you make some more examples? And that helps me to kind of make a little puzzle in my head that then when I actually go and see the rule of that specific, you know, like word sentence construction or that specific verb tense, it makes more sense. So, you know, like this is another technique that I can have. And this kind of like both the music and the asking native speakers relies or kind of sends us back to the fact that context is the key, right? Because if you're already acquainted with a topic or a song or something, it's easier because it's like, oh, it's kind of remembering something. It's like, oh, I know this, or oh, I heard of this before. And our brain picks it up more quickly.
Perfect. So then what you are suggesting is to have opportunities to use language in context. When you have a word and then you ask native speaker, can you say something with that? Can you give me another example? You want to see what it's like to hear it in different context. And also with the music in the background, it's interesting that what I do is that I listen to podcasts, and I listen to podcasts from Italy, from France, from Brazil, where they talk about family, they talk about food. And so sometimes I'm just listening to those podcasts in the background while I'm doing the dishes. And yes, I do the dishes at home. So when I'm doing the dishes, I am listening to the podcast. So when I am doing the laundry, I am also listening to Italian or French. And I'm always in the background, in the back of my mind, paying attention to Italian while I can do something else. So that's very useful. So with music, you can listen to it on the background, look at the lyrics later, and then expand your experience with that strategy.
I think that's something very, very important. For example, podcasts for me personally don't really work well. And music instead works really well. And this is because I think that each one of us, and this is obviously supported by a lot of literature, but I kind of like marry this theory that each one of us has a specific learning style, right? So for example, like when you were talking about podcasts, right? I really, really, really would like to listen to podcasts. However, it's just really hard for me to focus and to remember words from podcasts, because like a song, it's something repetitive for me. So for me, repetition is very, very important when I'm learning a language, right? Whereas a podcast, they just talk about a topic, right? So when they're talking about a topic, it's easier because it's in context, but it's not repeated. So for me personally, music with, you know, like refrains and oh yeah, again and again and again, and it's just a way to repeat. Of course, I'm talking about vocabulary here personally, but you know, this is something that I think all students and all teachers should take into account, like the different preferences, especially when teaching one-on-one, you know, like personal preferences and you know, like having clear in mind that language learning is a super personal process. So there's no student like any other, in my opinion. You know, like each one come with their own social, you know, like influences, the filter, affective filters, and all of these things that make us unique learners. So this is something to me that is very, very important when taking into account teaching online.
I know that also from time to time, Martina, you take lessons, individual lessons, private lessons. And I am curious to know if when you take maybe a private lesson, if you have a chance, an opportunity to just experiment on yourself with different techniques or strategies, and if that has been useful to you to become a better language teacher. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I do actually take Spanish lessons online once a week. I have 1 hour of Spanish once a week with a teacher. So I started, you know, like, oh, okay, show me what you have kind of approach. And, you know, like it was going fine. It was okay. I didn't feel though I was improving that much, not because of the teacher, but because of me, because I didn't express myself appropriately with her at the beginning. I didn't tell her what I needed and what I liked and what I was looking for. So she had, you know, like her approach where she gives me articles to read and then, you know, like we focus on a grammar, like 15, 20 minutes on a grammar point during the lesson. And then she asks me questions, she gives me drills, which is fine. I mean, for language learning, I'm not saying this is bad. But what I'm saying is, you know, like after. And this is the realization I talked about, you know, like that I had 2 years ago. After I kind of made a little research on myself, thinking, okay, what is working for me? What do I like? What works best for me? Then I realized that my main goal is to communicate. Like, I want to speak. For how badly I want to speak. I don't like drills. I don't like text analysis. I'm not saying I will never, ever do it in my life, but I'm saying that to get the most out of my language learning, I like to speak and I like to be corrected as well. So for example, I am a very extroverted person. So I don't mind if you say, Martina, the sentence you just said makes no sense. Okay. How can we work on it? So this is what I like. But I have students, you know, like on the other hand, that the second you go like, because you might not have understood properly if it was in the present or in the past, and they freeze and they panic. So that's because they're more on the introvert spectrum. So that really depends on the student, on their personality, their approach, their style. So again, language learning on my own online gave me the chance to experiment different approaches, different ways, you know, like of vocabulary learning, grammar learning, what I like with grammar. For example, before I mentioned that I like to figure out things on my own, right? So grammar, for example, it's something I really struggle with in Spanish, to be honest, because it seems so similar to the Italian one. And then I just, you know, like rely heavily on the Italian structure. And then when you hit subjects like the subjunctive, the teacher is like, not quite sure. So, you know, I like to understand beforehand on my own. So to create a little rule on my own and then to confront it on the book and like have a little check from the teacher or the book. So this is what helps me. But I have other students that, you know, like I experimented the reading text and then talking about the text, which I find okay, not particularly stimulating. Other students perform super well with that. So it's a you know, like a testing process. And I personally like to try and test even things I don't like, because they might work, you know, like with other students. This is why I also like to take languages. I mean, this is also why I like to take lessons online, because you get to meet other teachers and other styles and other approaches. And I think that being curious, it's one of the keys to be a really good language teacher. And also, you know, when you study languages, you know, like grammar is not necessarily the big scary monster, you know, like staring at you. For example, what I like to do is to take a closer look of the text or the video or the audio that I'm looking at and kind of figure it out, like make a little rule in my head and see if that rule applies. So by doing so, it's in context, it's organic, it's something that makes you feel accomplished when you actually get it, rather than you like sterily study from book and like, oh, okay, this is this, got it, let's apply it, right? And also, I think that using grammar as a tool rather than a list of rules that you have to study kind of helps you to communicate better and have a better understanding of the language, right?
Yeah, it is true. It is true. What we know from the field of second language acquisition is that grammar is better applied when it works as a tool, when it has a purpose to connect meaning with form. And that's something that we want to promote, not just memorizing rules. That's not how you learn a language. Memorization of rules and just drills and practicing grammar. No, that's not what grammar does. Grammar enables us to communicate us, and we learn to use it as a tool. And yeah, so that's interesting how you also, what I like about what you were also saying is that when you are experiencing language, you create your own rule. You're just thinking about how that rule works, and then you go and check it with the book, and then later you go and text and test that in context. So that's a very good way to go about it.
Cool. Thank you so much. I think that, again, you know, like sometimes students ask me like, oh, what can I do, you know, like to learn faster, or, you know, like to learn grammar. And I'm like, honestly, just get it into context. Like don't take a book. I mean, you could take a 300 page book, start from page one, finish at page 300, and you might have a massive, you know, like knowledge about grammar, but can you actually put it into practice? Or would that stop you, you know, like create a kind of a filter and say like, oh my God, this is too much, I can't do it, right?
Oh yeah, that's a huge conversation. We can have a whole hour just talking about that. That's a huge conversation. And all right, well, let's talk about also your private lessons. I know that you offer online lessons and you use platforms out there, and you have had 5 years, right? More than about 5 years teaching private lessons. And now you have had experience teaching Italian to people from many different countries. And share with us, how do you teach them Italian? What are some of the things you do when you're teaching them Italian? What are maybe some of the strategies or maybe your interventions? What do you do as an Italian teacher to help your students learn Italian?
Well, many things. I'm kind of a jester. No, I'm just kidding. So I tend to prefer and tend to give a lot of structure at the beginning stages. Now, I'm not talking about grammar rules or drills. I'm talking about structure, meaning like repetition, images, context. It's not like free conversation like would be for an upper intermediate, obviously. So with beginners, I like to focus a lot on putting the language into practice with repeating. Also, I like to create role plays a lot and like create different real life situations in which, you know, like they can see themselves speaking the language, and, you know, like they can say like, oh, you know, like I'm actually doing it. Even if it's small, even if it's, you know, like little by little. I think that especially like with visual references, with vocabulary, you know, like they can pick up more quickly, you know, like the vocabulary and all the sentence and the structure. And by repeating, you know, that kind of install in their head the kind of the sequence of how words or how sentences are structured, how words match, you know, because, you know, in Italian we have the agreement, right, with, like, as most Romance languages. So, you know, also one thing that as a technique that I use in my one-on-one lessons is, you know, I have 5 years, over 5 years of online of teaching experience, but online just two. And in this 5 years, I switched from a classroom setting into a one-on-one setting. That changed massively my teaching style, my teaching approach. Even the learning styles, you know, that I mentioned earlier, I had a different approach after I started doing one-on-one, because when you have a classroom, well, you're more, you know, like trying to merge all the styles, all the people, trying to get the most out of it. While when you have a one-on-one, like an individual lesson, that's, to me, the best solution to learn a language, because that's tailor-made to you. So, you know, that gave me the chance to not experiment, but to assist, to witness, kind of, if we want to say, to witness to the different and great diversity that all language learners have. So one thing, though, that I've noticed that all of my students appreciate, regardless of their level of Italian, the learning style, is the correction style I developed. So, you know, when I was writing my master thesis about third language acquisition, I stumbled upon a very interesting text called Analyze and Correct Mistakes, right? So that book, you know, like, gave you a decalogue, kind of like a set of rules of what to do, what not to do. And of course, in a classroom setting, not on one-on-one, which, again, even the correction style on one-on-one is different. So that inspired me kind of to create a unique way to tell my students, you know, like a little red flag when they're making mistakes. And that is, I don't stop them. I don't interrupt the conversation. I don't wait until the end, because sometimes, you know, like, it's a little mistake, especially with upper intermediate students. They make a mistake and you might wait until the end of the whole paragraph because they speak a lot, right? So you wait and you wait and you wait, and then becomes such a little mistake that could have been avoided, but you don't need to correct, right? So what I do is kind of, I make like a little funny face that you guys can't see right now, but I'm doing it. So I make a little funny face, and the student there, it's not an effective, it doesn't raise effective filters, because it's not like, whoa, 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 mistake, bad, right? But it's more of like, hey, there's something that could have be done better, you know, like, can you improve that, or can you say it better? And the student really appreciate that, because they say, you don't interrupt me, and, you know, like, you support me, and you smile when you do the funny face, you know, it's not like, angry one, but it's something that, you know, helps a lot the language learning process overall in general. For what concerns grammar and overall, like, since the majority of my students are from a pre-intermediate level on, I have noticed that they tend to perform better when they kind of forget that this is a lesson, right? And they focus on the communication part more. So this kind of arises and develops their subconscious abilities in the language. Of the language, right? Because the lesson becomes more of an experience that they have, you know, like, and they're using the language without being an indoctrination process, like it has been for me when I was in school. So, you know, I think that creating also a safe environment for the students as a teacher is very important thing, and it's a very important strategy to put into place, you know, like, make them feel welcome, make them feel, you know, like, there's nothing to worry about, I'm not here to judge you, I'm not here, you know, like, to correct you or to punish you for bad mistakes that you're making, right? So I think that these are two of the most important strategies that I apply overall in all of my lessons.
It is very interesting. There are two things that I remember liking very much from your lessons when I was taking Italian lessons with you, and there were two things in particular that I always appreciated about your style. And The first was that you were very good at providing comprehensible input. I would tell you, Martina, I want to talk about fruits and vegetables, and I want you to give me comprehensible input. I'm going to throw these sentences, this vocabulary, and tell me information around it so I can expand my vocabulary. I can learn how you express how a vegetable tastes, how it looks, the all the characteristics of that and how you eat it, if there is anything in particular in the way you eat it in Italy. And you were very good and very creative at providing comprehensible input. And that's something that is not easy to do, because you need to really not only have that personality that you can say a lot of things about just one single thing. If I ask you, do you have a lot of apples in Italy? And then you were saying, oh yeah, we have this kind of apples. They taste like this. We make this, they make that. And then you have all these kinds of things, everything that you could say. And that is, well, comprehensible input is central to our ability to build our subconscious knowledge of the language. So that was something that I appreciated from taking your lessons. And the second was always your willingness to also learn more about how to become a better language teacher. I remember when I was sharing some strategies, and you were always so excited to also try it and see it and use it. And that was also something that not many teachers do, because it's also not easy to be, to realize that maybe there is more to learn, and you can also always go to the next level. And I appreciated that, because I think that regardless of where you are in your teaching ability, when you keep pursuing more and you want to be better and you want to look at maybe what we know from the information or what strategies you apply and how you look at that, moving to the next step in your experience is what always can make you a better language instructor. So those are those things that I always appreciated from taking also your Italian lessons with you, and also all the fun that we have. I remember we were just laughing so hard all the time, because you have a very good sense of humor, and that contributed to my ability to feel very comfortable and just enjoying taking a lesson from you.
Well, thank you so much. Well, and I couldn't agree more. You know, like, comprehensible input, you know, especially when you're learning vocabulary, it's a key point in language learning, right? You always have to have like that something that stimulates you but yet lets you understand, you know, like the N plus, the infamous N plus one, right? So you know, we I think that being curious as a teacher, like I said before, it's again a key point, but also be aware of, you know, like, what do you do and what do you want to do, how to improve and how much you want to improve. It's very, very important. In fact, I remember when I started teaching online, you were one of my first students, and you were like, oh, you know, I would like to test this game. And I was like, okay, that's something you know, like, the student suggests the topic. And I was like, okay, I'm on it. Let's do this. And, you know, you suggested this game. And after that, I was so mind blown, because this vocabulary strategy that you put in place was something completely different from, you know, like, all the literature on the topic I had, you know, like, in my experience. And so I realized that there was so much more to learn and to experiment and to develop and to, you know, like, try as a language learner first and then as a teacher. So I think that when it comes to vocabulary, you know, like, this whole process of the comprehensible input, of meaningful words, of, you know, like, even cognates that help you in figuring out kind of what's going on, you know, like, all of the frequency as well of repetition, these are all strategies and techniques that can be put into place to help the student learn more vocabulary, I think. Yeah, that's, of course.
That's great. Yeah, I remember sharing some strategies with you, and I always I always appreciated that you look at those from a experimental point of view, where you were looking at those strides and thinking, oh, I would like to try them and see what it's like. And I also don't like to test something on students. I always think about going to the doctor. Imagine that you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you medicine, you go home and then you're sick, you're not getting better, and you go to the doctor again and say, well, doctor, I still feel sick. And the doctor says, oh, wow, you know, the medicine is not working. Well, I was just experimenting with you. I would not like to be experimented on. So I experiment on myself. I try and see this strategy. Let's see how it feels to use it in the language I'm learning. And so you took that, and I know that you do that. Well, let's talk about another question. And actually, you already kind of answer this question indirectly, because I was going to ask you about grammar and vocabulary. And on your previous answer, you were mentioning how you actually teach grammar in context. You use the context, you use the communicative setting to give students the opportunity to also experience grammar, and how you give them the notion that, you know, you also experiment a little bit with grammar, but when it comes to actually using it, it is a tool, and let's you know, hear me on the input using grammar, and then you can make hypotheses and play with it. But let's just continue with the question. Do you have any particular suggestions or ideas on how you teach, how you use grammar in your lessons and vocabulary? How do you integrate maybe grammar and vocabulary to help your students learn Italian?
Mm-hmm. So, well, like I said before, I believe in uniqueness, right? So I don't think there is a right or wrong, you know, like perfect tailor-made style for everybody. And this is what I like to reflect in my own lessons, right? So I think that I have thought many students, right? And some of them desperately wanted grammar, you know, like explanation and then the drill, and, you know, like they go home and do more homework, and they wanted that. And on to an extent, as an online teacher, you kind of have to encounter or meet the student's requests, right? Because it's a one-on-one relationship. But I think that as a teacher and as a person with some knowledge on the topic, I think it's also it's my responsibility to show you other ways that, you know, like can be definitely discarded afterwards, and you're like, you know what, I like my drills, let's continue with that, and there's nothing wrong with it. But I think that this doesn't reflect my personal style, because like I said before, I like context, I like figuring out things. So, you know, also I'm a very visual person. So if I can have, you know, like a picture or even like a few sentences jotted down, you know, like that kind of gives me the idea of what's going on. That helps me tremendously. So, you know, what I like is to have a conversation-led lesson. Of course, at different levels. So if we're talking about an intermediate, kind of intermediate level and on, I like to have conversation-led lessons. Of course, we have a focus for grammar, which will be, I don't know, pronouns or past tense, right? That's our core concept, and then we work around it. So we have a conversation. So again, the experience that I was talking about before. So the student doesn't have to feel like, okay, so this is my exercise about pronouns, right? But it's something like, oh, I'm communicating with the teachers and with the teacher, and I am kind of like making him use pronouns. So stimulating with questions, with sentences, even, you know, like that's my job. So to stimulate you to use the language, because of course it would be so easy. It's like, oh, have you ever been there? Yes. Oh, great. You know, I use have you ever been, but the student hasn't.
You mentioned something important indirectly, and that is that there is a different purpose for learning a language. Some students may want to practice in order to pass their exam, and that's fine. You know, it's a scenario where we have to find the strategies that can help those students pass an exam, and then maybe drills. Some particular drills are very useful. I used to help high school students from private schools. I used to help them pass some exams, and I use many drills to help them accomplish that. But when students want to experience the speaking the language, and also when they want to experience the ability to put language in their subconscious as a way to speak intuitively and use language in the way we use our first language, that requires a different approach, because the literature in the field of second language, the literature in the field of second language acquisition suggests that drills don't help much to move language into your subconscious. So if your goal is to speak the language, communicate, and have that experience when you build your subconscious command, then we adapt for those scenarios. And it's important to know that, because students may have different purposes. And there are students who need to learn maybe English or Italian or Spanish for business. And so for that, it's a different approach. So it's important to mention that it's important to be flexible and understand the needs so that you can also apply what works better. And the more you know about the field of second language acquisition, the more effective you can be when you decide what you are going to do in your classes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Exactly. I think that, you know, there are many, many types of, you know, like learners that have different goals. And so I think that having a system in place where you know where you stand from a language teaching point of view, you know, like, what do you think it works and what it doesn't? And, you know, like, again, meet the student needs in a creative way also sometimes, because, you know, like I mentioned before, some students want grammar and drills, and that's not my style. You know, like, I have to find a creative way to meet them, whether it's for studying for a test or studying for a job interview or studying for their next trip to Italy. You know, like, I have to adapt every time, you know, like, my teaching style. And this, I think, is one of the beauties, you know, like, of online teaching. Gives you so much flexibility, and that it's just great.
Excellent. Well, before we end our interview today, I have one last question. And my question for you is, do you have any suggestions, any recommendations that you would like to give to language teachers, and perhaps also language teachers who teach one-on-one lessons, because you have now experience doing that, and there are not that many people out there giving advice to teachers who are teaching one-on-one online lessons. Do you have any suggestions, anything that you would like to share?
Yes. Well, for sure. Number one is read and understand the latest literature. Now, you don't have to be an academic graduate, you know, like, to read or to be informed about the literature. You don't have to be, you know, like, a hoarder of, you know, like, second language acquisition articles, but just know where the tradition is going, you know, like, what, I'm sorry. Just know where the trend is going, you know, like, where research is being done and what's working, the tests. So I think that to read and understand, be informed, be aware as a theoretical point of view definitely helps. And the second one, more on a practical perspective, is be a language learner yourself, because, you know, the best way to put into practice what you think might work is to test it on yourself. So, you know, like, try new theories, try new exercises, try if, you know, like, your new approach works or not. So be a language learner and be curious yourself. And so I think that these are the two most important ones, together with, you know, like, always try to create for yourself and the student. So for yourself as a language learner and for the student, kind of an emotionally safe environment to learn. These are my best advices.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you so much for this opportunity to have this conversation with you, Martina, and we can all share our experiences and what we do to help students learn a language. Because in the end, when we succeed, when you succeed, when I succeed, when all of us succeed, we're helping each other. We're helping each other to build this community of language learners that experience the joy and the enthusiasm and the way learning another language enhances one's life, enhances your life. And it is always great to hear what other teachers are doing, and particularly I appreciate what you bring to the table, because you are informed, you have studied the field of second language acquisition, you have a master's degree, you have learned languages, and you experiment, you practice on yourself. You don't do it with the students, because sometimes you need to know what it's like to use a particular technique, and so it's important. But thank you so much, Martina. It was such a great conversation, and I am sure that our audience, our teachers, our learners that are listening to this episode can learn a lot from your experience, Martina.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much again, Joel, for having me here. It has been a great pleasure. And, you know, like, again, thank you for the stimulating topics and the questions. It has been a great, great, great experience, and I hope to see you soon.
Well, that was my interview with Martina. I hope you enjoyed it. If you would like to know more about Martina, take a look at the show notes. I have links to Martina's profile, Martina's blog, YouTube channel, and social media, so you can follow Martina. And if you're interested in taking Italian lessons with Martina, then you'll know how to find her. If you like the podcast, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, and please leave me a 5-star review on iTunes to help me grow and reach more people who are interested or are curious about how we learn languages. If you have 2 minutes, please leave me a comment as well to give new listeners an idea of what this podcast is about and what they can learn and expect from the podcast. Remember that if you have questions, suggestions, ideas, or something that you would like me to cover on a future episode, just send me an email to slaworkshoppodcast, one word or lowercase, @yahoo.com. It is the name of the podcast, SLA Workshop Podcast, one word, all lowercase. I might read your email on the next episode to share your comment with our community. All right, that is all. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast, and I'll see you on the next episode of the SLA Workshop Podcast. For now, I'll just say hasta pronto. Adios.
Thanks for listening to the SLA Workshop Podcast with Joel Zárate. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you again on our next episode. And for now, we'll just say hasta pronto. Adios.